Wall Street veteran Bernard Madoff has been arrested and charged with running a $50 billion Ponzi scheme.
Congress wants to know what caused the Enron meltdown.
Now, while the collective rage currently is focused on WorldCom,
Tyco CEO Dennis Kozlowski was convicted of looting hundreds of millions of dollars.
This is one of the biggest fraud cases ever.
Their president's a crook. Well, I'm not a crook.
Find out more on this week's episode of White Collars, Red Hands.
We all know some, let's be nice and call them interesting people, that are futilely trying to attain internet fame. Maybe they are recording the one chip challenge for a total of 25 views and 3 likes on TikTok, or they are live streaming games on Twitch, even though they are not good enough at said game and maybe not even particularly funny. Or maybe they run a moderately listened to podcast on crime committed by the wealthy. Either way, there are plenty of those in this day and age seeking the thrill of going viral, and the possibility of yucking it up with the affluent and well-known seems more attainable than ever in history, just a phone screen away. Many people fail, but most of them are incompetent. When Razzle Khan, a rapper, influencer, hustler by the actual name of Heather Morgan, began to populate screens across the world on YouTube and TikTok, claiming that she was an entrepreneur and hacker and calling herself the Crocodile of Wall Street, it was easy to laugh her off as another cringe-worthy joke. But her music videos were surprisingly well-funded for someone whose lyrics include, "I just want to do my jerk-off dance," multiple times. And at one point, there was even a multi-factor marketing campaign for Razzle Khan that saw multiple billboards in Times Square. So how did Heather Morgan fund this social media empire? And how is it related to a crypto heist worth $4.5 billion? Find out on this week's episode of White Collars, Red Hands.
Razzle Khan.
Yes. Named because she reminded herself of Genghis Khan, but with more pizzazz.
Interesting.
More razzle-dazzle.
Give him the old razzle-dazzle.
I literally think Razzle Khan is short for Razzle-Dazzle Khan.
It probably is.
She would say razzle-dazzle a lot. And she also does this thing where she throws up like a kind of like the West Side gang sign, but and then goes, eh, and stick. And she, like when I make that sound, you might think like, that's exactly what she does. She goes like, eh, and you're like, what are you doing? And it was like her signature move.
It's like when Cardi B goes, oh, crap.
Yeah, but like way even more disgusting. Like it just sounds like she's throwing up. And you're like, this, if you're trying to be famous, you should try being palatable. Just a little bit. Be like just.
Maybe I should try that.
10% likable and you'd have a chance at least.
Some people, sometimes it's hard to be like 10% likable though.
Is it?
Yes, speaking from personal experience.
Yeah.
I'm only 5% likable.
The other 95% is in the space between your eyebrows.
Shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up.
Sorry, I don't even need to dredge up your TikTok comments.
Because Sean is just preying on my weaknesses right now.
I'm toughening you up for the internet.
Oh, you sound like my dad. I'm only mean to you because I love you. If I'm not mean to you, how are you going to be able to handle when people are mean to you in real life?
That's what dads are like, right? It's like a boy named Sue, Johnny Cash. Uh-huh. You got to name your kids names where they get horrendously bullied so that they can take on life.
Well, I gave you that name to make you strong and... Oh, shit. Now I don't remember it.
Wow, you crushed that.
I crushed it.
Welcome back to another episode of White Collars, Red Hands, everybody. I'm Kashan.
And I'm Nina.
And today we're talking about Razzle Khan, Heather Morgan, and others. There's one other person that really shows up. Her partner.
In crime?
In crime, yes. They became
her boyfriend partner. Or girlfriend partner.
Well, I guess we'll have to find out, huh?
A partner in crime that canoodles?
We can't just say the whole story in the 5 seconds up front, because then it negates this 7-page script I put together.
Heard.
So let's get started.
I'm feeling kind of silly now, so...
Oh, yeah? You feel a little goofy?
Mm-hmm.
A little goofy goober? Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Let's
follow that energy. Heather Morgan grew up in the small town of Tehama, California, which boasts a population size of just over 400 residents.
Wow.
Heather claimed later in her YouTube videos that this was the smallest town in California, but a quick Google search showed this to be her first lie, as it is not. The smallest city in California is Amador City, with only 201 citizens.
Amador!
Which I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. If any one of the 201 citizens listen to this, please write in.
They're going to be pissed at you.
Well, they're a small demographic. I think I'm all right. You good?
Yeah. I just can't believe you said they were small. A small demographic.
The smallest city in California. That's fast.
Where is it located? Like, where in California?
I don't know. I didn't look at the map. I'll look at it later. Heather's parents both worked for the government in some respect, with her father being a governmentally employed biologist and her mother being a public school librarian.
Okay, Kashawn, you cannot say her mom worked for the government and she was a public school librarian. She's out here doing the Dewey Decimal System and she worked for the government? That means I work for the government.
That is how she put it herself.
Oh, okay.
She said, my parents worked for the government, and then followed it up with that.
Oh, okay. Because then I work for the government.
You technically do.
Really?
Yes. The government employs you. It's public school systems.
Mm. No wonder we're in shambles.
No. You work for the state government, I think, though, not the federal government.
Yeah.
I mean, whatever. And Heather Morgan was mercilessly mocked in high school. As you'll hear later when we listen to some clips of her rapping, she has a pretty bad speech impediment. She's got a lisp. But she grew up in the mindset of owning your weird and never gained...
No, these people.
Yeah, and never gained the sort of introvertness that usually is the scar of this kind of treatment.
Oh my God, these are people that still sleep with stuffed animals as grown-ups.
Absolutely, but she says it's because she's quirky.
No, some of y'all just need to...
She owns it. She's like, I'm different. I'm different, and that's why I'm like this.
Okay, Sid the Sloth.
That's right. The last dandelion of the season.
Oh, man, now I want to watch Ice.
Instead, she funneled all of that energy that would go into hating herself for normal bullied people into being incredibly ambitious and wanting to seek out the next big thing to cement her legacy.
All right, I can give her props for that.
Well, you know.
She could have just been sad.
Yes, we'll find out, though. Such a thing is too ambitious. Mm. We talk about it a lot.
She girl boss too close to the sun.
Exactly. Gatekeep, girl boss, gaslight. Exactly.
Isn't it gatekeep, gaslight, girl boss?
Oh, yeah. I said it wholly out of order. Completely.
Gatekeep, gaslight, girl boss, go to jail.
There we go. The four G's.
The four G's.
Of
the cell phone.
Third wave feminism.
Yeah. I don't want a girl boss so much I go to jail.
Yeah, just enough to maybe, like, get indicted but not get convicted.
No, I don't even want to go to court.
Okay, fine.
I'd cry the whole time.
Someone doesn't want to have fun. That's good for you. They'll feel sympathy. That's a good reaction.
Okay.
She attended UC Davis and attained a bachelor's degree in economics, and shortly after graduating was hired by professor of economics at the same school, Travis Libert, originally to help with research for a book which was about food insecurity in the Middle East, I believe. And she was just going to do the research, but after she proved her determination and worth, he actually added her as a co-author to the book. He was so impressed with her determination that he actually offered to write recommendation letters to get her into a PhD program, but she never took him up on the offer. Mm. He reached out and said, I'm going to write you letters. Let's get you in a PhD program. She was like, nah.
I'm going to rap.
Yeah. She was like, I have bigger.
I'm sorry. I've got some razzle dazzle on.
And it just, someone who could have got a PhD and that was the best she could come up with for her rap. At least it doesn't have Lil
She's
Women.
She's smart, not creative.
At least it's not like Lil Razzle Dazzle.
Lil Raz?
That would be slightly worse.
Lil Razcon? Lil Raz Daz?
There's an infinite possibility of worse options, but even more better options. At the time, she'd been working in Egypt, but this is where she had a bit of a break from her ambition, as she suffered a want to get away from the hustle and bustle, which I would call a mental breakdown, but that's fine, and ended up, according to third-party reports, moving to Brazil, and into a whirlwind marriage to a man that she realized that she didn't want to be with, and by her report, escaped back to America completely penniless and hungry to start a business. I could not find any primary documentation that supported that. The only thing I could find that supported that were...
like her own account?
Were from her own account. But supposedly that's what happened. That's what her friends said happened too, but don't know. Couldn't find the guy's name or how they met or anything. But supposedly she got married in Brazil, hated it there, divorced him, and then moved back to the States and had no money. Instead, she decided to blaze her own trail, and she kept owning the weird. Doctor
kept. You stand by that one?
No. And she kept owning the weird. Dr. Liebert said that by the end of their correspondence, Heather's email signature read, "Economist, entrepreneur, hustler." And she co-authored a book with...
in professional emails?
Yeah, that was her... yes, that was her, like, email
signature. God.
Economist, entrepreneur, hustler.
Let's get this bread.
What's up, baby? I hope this... to whom it may concern, I hope this email finds you well. What's up, motherfucker? Like, it's some juxtaposition.
You straight up got the riz.
Absolutely. She got... dude, she got that corporate riz. That corporate email
riz. Yeah, the corporate email riz. Hustler.
This hustler, oh my God.
She ate and left no crumbs.
Nom, 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 nom. And she moved to Silicon Valley and founded a startup by the name of Salesfolk, a marketing company specializing in cold email campaigns. Such a hustler. Sexy business. And their slogan fit its owner's life goals. Be a goat, not a sheep. Like goat.
Yeah, like the greatest of all time.
But not a sheep.
Yeah, like a follower.
And then the logo was a goat. How, what that has to do with emails, though? Or sales folk?
Be a goat, not a sheep.
Sales folk? I don't get... there's no connection. It's no, like there's just nothing. Random shit put together, which you'll find out, though, that's what she was best at doing. It's just...
random
put,
shit?
Yeah, just putting random shit together that makes no fucking sense.
Well, she's... because she's random and quirky, Kashawn.
Oh, yeah. But not like... not like cute, quirky, like Zooey Deschanel. She reminds me more of Caroline Ellison.
I don't remember who that is.
Mousy ass. That's Sam Bankman.
Oh, Fried's that girl.
Girlfriend who just got him. By the way, update, Sam Bankman-Fried gets a guilty on all counts.
Yep, I saw that.
I mean, there's going to be some, you know, appeals and stuff. But yeah, there we go. Caroline Ellison got him. They got him. He's going to prison, hopefully. It is here that Heather Morgan would meet her partner in crime quite literally, and he took the form of a geeky Sam Bankman-Fried looking kind of man named Ilya Lichtenstein. What a name.
That is such a long
name. And that's not even fake. He's got a country for a name. What's going on? Ilya was a first-generation American citizen and the son of Russian immigrant parents. He grew up in relative comfort, in contrast to Heather, in a quaint Chicago suburb by the name of Glenbrook.
Oh yeah, that is a nice suburb.
He went to Glenbrook South High School.
I mean, I've never been there, but...
no. Ilya was a geek. A nerd. Comments on his high school prom picture literally say, "Ilya with a date? I can't believe it."
Aw, Ilya.
Yeah, yeah.
Poor guy.
He was very nerdy. He was known for taking just about every coding class that his high school offered and being obsessed with tech. He's literally like, you know what? I know I get on you for doing this, but you're going to want to see this man.
I am going to want to see this man. I already want to see him.
Come on.
Yeah, Ilya with a date.
Come on. This is them together. This is the last.
Oh, they have the weirdest fucking sex.
This is the last selfie they took, by the way.
Oh, they have weird sex.
Look at this. Oh, look at this. These people are weird.
You know that they're like, I don't want to watch.
No, absolutely not.
They both look like they have no, like, not enough meat on their bones. And that it would just sound like, this is what it would sound like.
No, no, he's actually gross. He's actually kind of paunchy.
Oh, is he?
Later on, yeah. So.
So then it would be more like,
this means nothing. What are you doing?
That's what they sound like.
No, that doesn't even mean anything. You're just clapping into the microphone in an audio medium.
God, unless they watch on YouTube.
Yeah, then they get to hear it and watch it. How you fucking look while you're doing it. And go like, oh, good. Yes. Anyway.
Oh, man. Do you think he, like, supported her rap career?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Might be what this is about.
Wow.
After Ilya finally got through what I'm sure were bully-filled years as well of high school, he attended the University of Wisconsin-Madison, where he received a degree in psychology. A weird choice for a tech-focused career, but whatever. I have a sneaking suspicion that he got there and, like, couldn't do it and then switched to psychology, because I know a lot of people that did that. Mm. They were like, well, I'll just get a psychology degree because it's one of the... Okay, don't hate me. Everyone has a psychology degree out there, but it's one of the easier ones to get through, supposedly. That seems like it has prospects, but it doesn't.
No, it has no prospects.
You can do nothing with a bachelor's degree in psychology.
No, so you have to get a master's.
If you are a college student and you're not going to go to grad school, you get anything else.
Yeah, you might as well just get a business degree.
Well, don't do theater either.
Yeah, don't do theater.
Or any liberal arts. Just, you can learn all that stuff without going to college is what I'm saying.
You can.
You don't need the degree. If you're going to get a degree, get it in something that needs it.
Mm-hmm. I ended up getting my degree in education.
And you're using it.
And I am using
it. So, you know, yeah.
I'm still not making any money.
Neither are any of us, so it's okay.
Yeah.
Ilya, also known by the nickname Dutch.
But he's Russian.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
Okay.
He found his way to Silicon Valley as well and moved through a couple of tech-based startups, including a few dating sites he created, like findgeekgirls.com.
Of course he made that.
Yeah, I wonder where he came up with the idea for that one.
He watches hentai.
I about to say, probably more gross men on that site than the unmoderated section of Omegle.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He looks like a guy I chatted with on Omegle one time.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Maybe it was
him? For real, it might have been.
He eventually found more success with his marketing startup, MixRank, that developed ways for companies to connect to new customer bases and received a wide berth of seed capital, supposedly even from Mark Cuban. But I think it was like in an indirect way. I don't think he fucking sat down with Mark Cuban and gave him the pitch and got the money, because he is not a very...
charming.
He's not a very outgoing person if you hear him talk. He's very bad at public speaking.
Oh, so Ilya doesn't have the riz?
He does not.
He doesn't have the razzle dazzle?
I believe what the kids would call it is he has L riz.
Low riz?
It stands for loss. Like, he's just catching L's.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. You're old. We're both old.
I know. We're both old.
You're older.
31 this week.
And now, with both Heather and Ilya being at the top of the tech entrepreneur world, it was the perfect time for them to meet and cause a perfect storm in their wake. When the two met, it was 2014. 2 years later, on October 2nd, 2016, the largest crypto caper in history happened. We are going to play fast and loose with the terminology here regarding crypto. If you want a more in-depth discussion of most of these terms, I suggest listening to our Blockchain Blockheads episode, where we discuss in-depth some of this stuff, or the Sam Bankman-Fried FTX episode, because we also talk about it a little bit there. So just put in that there. I'm not defining all these today. Bitfinex is an online cryptocurrency exchange where people can buy and sell all kinds of fake money. On this night, a hacker breached the security of the website and gained access to thousands of accounts containing Bitcoin, and immediately began transferring those funds out of the platform and into their own digital wallet. In total, 119,754 Bitcoin were stolen, which at the time was worth $71 million.
Oh, wow.
Now, you might be thinking, that sounds low, actually, if you know what the price of Bitcoin actually is. And that's because it was. In 2016, was still before its really big price jump. And as the writing of this script in November of 2023, Bitcoin is trading at $34,884 a Bitcoin. And the crypto stolen in this security breach would be worth just under $4.2 billion today.
Wow.
Now, Bitcoin is built on something called the blockchain, which, very briefly, is a public ledger shared between every computer connected to the system that logs every single Bitcoin transaction done ever. So, it was pretty easy for the authorities to find the identifier for the wallet where these Bitcoin were transferred to. The only problem is that the wallet's owners are anonymous. They could not find out who actually had the wallet. One reporter likened it to a bank robbery, where the money was stolen and in a locked car outside of the bank that no one could get into. Everyone knows where the money is, but no one can get to it. And no one even knows who owns the damn car. So they're like, that seems just really frustrating. You're like, well, it's someone literally just stole $71 million. We know exactly where it is, but we can't get to it, and we don't know who has access to it.
That's wild. That is actually wild if you think about it.
Well, that was the thought behind crypto to begin with, was a decentralized currency, right? That's why it's been such the target for illicit activities up until kind of recently. What should we talk about? However, there are companies that have been created that specialize in tracking of stolen cryptocurrency, like Chainalysis, which we actually did cover in the Blockchain Blockheads episode. And authorities got right to work, partnering with them to follow the money. Meanwhile, the lovebirds Ilya and Heather are living the good life, as they are seen taking lavish vacations to countries all over the world, even though Ilya abruptly left his marketing campaign MixRank in 2016 after spearheading the effort for 5 years. He just kind of dipped. I think they were still like fine. He was just like, I don't want to do this anymore. And he left the company. After leaving his company, the couple relocates from Silicon Valley to a $6,500 a month Wall Street apartment in New York, New York.
Wow.
And Heather starts writing part-time as a journalist while still running Sales Folk. And although she has almost no actual experience, she confidences her way into writing entrepreneurial pieces for Forbes and Inc.
Wow.
She basically, she just pretended that she was an expert in these kind of.
And like, they just believed her?
Yeah. I don't know how you get these jobs, but I'm assuming you have to like submit pieces. Mm-hmm. And maybe she was just so convincing at writing, like she knew what she was talking about, that they let her on.
I wish I had just a fraction of that.
Oh, yeah. I get nervous around people the first 5 times I meet them.
Right.
You know? Like, I wish I could just fucking lie.
Just make shit up. Be confident. Yeah, crazy.
Yeah, we'll find out that this was own her weird.
Ugh. She really owned it.
Ugh. And she expands that weirdness both online and in person. In person, it would be with her obsession for taxidermy.
Oh, God.
Their entire apartment was covered in stuffed dead animals.
That's so weird.
And she shows off many pieces on her social media accounts. Stuffed alligator heads.
What?
Yeah, you know, just kind of everything. Everything you think about. She had it. She had it dead and stuffed in her house.
That's weird.
And she was posting these videos quite a bit. After the move to New York is when she really started blossoming into her Razzlecon alter ego. And she drops some of the absolutely stinkiest fucking raps I have ever had the displeasure of listening to. And yes, I listened to the entirety of her discography on YouTube that had actual music videos. I'm not watching the ones that were just fucking audio only because I don't hate myself that much yet, even for you guys. And it was only like 5 videos, but it felt like a fucking lifetime.
I will say when I got here, because Sean showed me one video and only showed me 25 seconds, and it felt like a lot longer.
Well, good for you, Nina, and good for everyone at home, because right now I'm going to share some of the worst parts of my pain with you so you can suffer the way that I have to make this. All right, so firstly, her most popular song is called Versace Bedouin. Now, you're probably thinking, hey, what's a Bedouin? Like me, because I didn't know what the fuck that meant.
I do know what a Bedouin is. When I saw that word, I didn't know that's how you said it.
Well, that's how she says it. I'm pretty sure. I looked it up. I'm pretty sure that's how you say it.
No, it is pronounced Bedouin. I just didn't know. I don't think I've ever seen it.
Yeah, well, a Bedouin, for those of you who did not know, like I did, is defined as a nomadic Arab of the desert named after a historical nomadic Arab tribe. If I have to Google shit, in the title of your rap song, you didn't do a good job of writing the rap song. What is this? I don't want to have to Wikipedia what you're doing. I just want it to be called Scissorp or whatever and not really have to care.
SZA?
No, Scissorp.
Scissorp?
Yeah. The drink, it's like lean.
Mm.
But before it was lean. Like from I'm fly like a G6 sipping Scissorp in my ride.
Oh.
There we go.
I was sheltered.
Yeah, I know. This is also the song where she firstly calls herself the Crocodile of Wall Street. And now I will play a selection for all of you. This is from Versace Bedouin.
Con, the Versace Bedouin. Come real far, but don't know where I'm headed. Motherfucking Crocodile of Wall Street. Silver on my fingers and boots on my feet. Always be a goat, not a goddamn sheep. Email me. Fuck your message at the beep. Beep.
That was the chorus. You like how she slipped in her fucking sales folk saying in there?
Yeah, be a goat, not a sheep.
I'm like, oh my God. She opens up that song by going to all you entrepreneurs and hackers all throughout the world. And you're like, this is
bitch
very cringeworthy.
Yeah, you should see how she's dressed.
She owns and runs multiple businesses at this time. She co-authored a book on food insecurity. What is going on?
Doesn't mean she's good at rap.
It doesn't mean... She just seems dumb.
I also want you to know that this is a rap anthem for misfits.
that is the subtitle, by the way. So that's bad. But she also... That's not the best part. She has an obsession with calling herself a GILF, even though she's like 30 at the time of making this music. Here. Let me show you a little bit of that too, huh?
Is it the same song?
Yep. Oh yeah, there's multiple clips from multiple
this
songs.
This song is almost 4 minutes long.
All right, you ready?
Wait, this is the same song.
That hot grandma, you really want to bang? Always run the guilt game ever since I was 15.
What?
I'm many things: a rapper, an economist, a journalist, a writer, a CEO, and a dirty, 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 dirty hoe. Better than most writers. Creepier than most girls, weirder than most rappers, but I still rock pearls.
And then it goes back into the chorus.
A lot happened just then. A lot
CEO
was.
Oh, and a dirty, 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 dirty hoe.
While there's a girl twerking behind her,
and she's shoving a banana at her. If you hate
Lizzo before Lizzo.
If you hate yourself, then feel free to watch any of these, but that is not my...
I miss the person I was 45 seconds ago.
You will forever be changed. You know, you haven't heard, though, my favorite line in this whole song. You haven't heard it.
It gets worse. It doesn't get better.
Everyone knows I don't fuck with no bros. Unless they're gay, gays don't count. They're exempt.
Except for, unless they're gay, the gays don't count. They're exempt. What the fuck are you talking about?
I don't know.
Yeah, and she's in a bathtub with Orbeez, by the way. It's honestly, there's too much to go through.
There's so many bananas, and they're like too ripe. They're like banana bread bananas.
Oh, they're not that bad. Calm down.
And also, like, does she have a pixie cut, or is her hair in a ponytail?
Her hair's pulled back. She's got long hair.
She looks like the oldie version of Tina Fey.
She looks nothing like Tina Fey, and you're horribly wrong.
The oldie version.
Not even. She looks nothing like her. She looks like the fucking Alec Baldwin version of Tina Fey, in by that they don't look anything like each other.
It's like something about their eyes.
No.
Maybe it's the same girl boss spirit.
Maybe. So you think that's bad? This video has 373,000 views.
Wow.
So let's dive a little bit deeper into the Razzlecon lore, shall we?
Okay, Razzlers? I don't want to brag, but I have a video that got 900,000 views, so.
No one cares.
I'm just saying.
Razzlecon lore, shall we Razzlers?
That's
what she called her viewers on YouTube and TikTok. They're the Razzlers. So all of you right now, listen to this. You're Razzlers now. Congratulations. Welcome to the club.
I am not a Razzler.
This next song should win an award for the worst chorus ever written and comes from fucking bad bitch, and it's pho, like the Vietnamese soup.
Fucking bad bitch. Go on, make me a sandwich. You annoying, like vag itch.
So CEO, by the way.
It's fucking tragic.
It's not the worst part.
Bad bitch, motherfucking bad bitch. Bad bitch, bad bitch, motherfucking bad bitch. Bad bitch, bad bitch, motherfucking bad bitch. Bad bitch, bad bitch, bad bitch.
What did she say? You're annoying, like vag itch?
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you ever hear the song I Swallowed His Kids?
No.
This I Swallowed His Kids is better than this.
Probably. And you might be thinking, like, oh, the way she sung that chorus, she obviously, that was a bad take.
You know what? I think she's a bad bitch.
She sings the chorus like that every single time. That's how she meant it to be. It's really bad.
Bad bitch. Bad bitch.
Motherfucking bad bitch. Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's a bad song.
She also constantly does this jerk-off motion in her videos and describes it at the beginning of this song. So we're going to go ahead and...
Never been much for romance. Rather do my jerk-off dance.
And then she...
But it's like such a bad jerk-off. It's like this.
Look at her. You think she fucking knows how to jerk someone off?
And it's
right?
Like this weird claw. She needs to, like, it's an up and down.
Yeah, she's
loose wrist.
She's bad at it.
It's a loose wrist.
She's bad at it.
Spit in your hand.
You know what my favorite part of this is? There's a fucking in memoriam at the end of this video.
For what?
For her friend who died. Straight up, it's her friend from Vietnam, which is why it's called fucking bad bitch, because she's one of the baddest bitches I've ever known. She decided to make this and be like, you know what?
You taught me how to make pho from scratch.
You know what's a testament to the love for my dead friend? Making that song and putting it on the internet.
Wow, if my friend put me in a video like that, I'd be like, you were never my friend.
Well, I mean, you don't know how your friends are going to be musically when you're dead. So.
Wow.
Anyway, I'll do this for you. I'll make a rap song.
And, you don't have to.
I'm going
to
perform it at your funeral. No. You don't have to thank me. It's okay. You don't have to thank me. I'll do it. I will. You don't have to thank me. I'm going to invite all your friends and family. I'm going to cry while I do it. I will have to grind on your grandma during part of it, though. I'm sorry.
Well, you are killing me within the next few years. I don't like that.
Your grandma doesn't have to be alive for the grinding. So if that's how you took it,
heard.
It doesn't have to be.
Heard.
Yes.
That would be the only way she would let you grind on her is if she was already dead.
All right, Razzlers. I got one more for you, okay? The song that has gained the most notoriety would have to be the Tiger King-themed Cutthroat Country, which has such stunning works of lyricism as the following.
Getting run by golf cart, poison with the frog, dark shit on you like a fart. No, what the best part?
What, Raz?
Shit on you like a fart. Shit on you like a fart. Do you get it, Nina?
Yeah,
because
yeah,
they both come from your butt.
And then she made the fart noise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you gotta put the ad-libs in there. She's just learning from popular
hey,
rappers.
This song, just so you all know, confronts sexual harassment in tech.
She says that for a couple of her songs, actually, that they're all, and I'm like, I don't know where this is coming from. Only some of the lyrics have anything to do with it. And it's usually like one right at the beginning, and then it just goes into all this really bad.
Maybe it's just like stuff. Up for interpretation.
Yeah. Oh, she actually does describe herself as a surrealist rapper.
Oh my God.
Which is just how you explain that you're bad. You're like, none of my shit makes sense. How do I make it make sense?
I'm a surrealist.
I'm a surrealist. But what has been pointed out from this one, or this song specifically, is that she seems to express both a knowledge and willingness to hack others when she says the following.
Spearfish your password, all your thoughts transferred. Flush you like a turd, smash you like a cheese curd.
So ignore the cheese curd and the turd part, although I know you want to say something about it. She said, spearfish your password. Is spearfishing a password is when you trick someone into giving it to you by, like, setting up a fake login page that you direct them to, and then they put it in, and then you can steal it. And she references all your funds transferred. Maybe nothing. Or maybe. an admission?
Maybe. $71 million worth of an admission.
All right, we're done. We're done with listening to her music. Okay?
Thank God.
Yeah, I know everyone's happy now. But like I said, you really need to understand just the depth of how terrible this music is to understand just how juxtaposed this online life is to what their personal life was. While Heather is posting music videos on YouTube and TikTok about... Oh, and TikTok's about the couple freaking out over eating really fluffy pancakes. You really want to cringe, go look up the fluffy pancakes video. You can find it very easily. Detectives were busy hunting down the stolen Bitcoin. The thieves knew what they were doing as they started laundering money out of the First Digital wallet through a variety of means. Firstly, they unloaded Bitcoin to the black market dark web site, AlphaBay, through a method known as peeling. They would move large amounts from one wallet to another while peeling off a small amount from the transaction and sending it to AlphaBay, which in addition to selling illegal drugs, weapons, and even poison, offered something called a crypto mixing service. Crypto mixing is where you take one batch of crypto and intentionally mix it and jumble it up with crypto from many other sources and then send them all out again in an effort to obfuscate its true path through the mixing service. In addition to outputting the stolen Bitcoin as more Bitcoin back to the thieves, they also had it output in other altcoins such as Monero. This practice of laundering cryptocurrency by changing it from one coin to another is known as chain hopping.
Montero is Lil Nas X's name.
Maybe. Connection? I don't know. A cryptocurrency known as Montero, at least this Montero, is a cryptocurrency known as a privacy coin, which is meant to purposefully collect the least amount of data to link transactions back to real people or entities. They don't have a blockchain, so it's really hard to track on purpose. After the crypto entered the mixing service with AlphaBay, it was going to be extremely hard to track, even with the help of Chainalysis. At least for the first year after the online robbery, it was. In 2017, the United States government announced that they had located and seized AlphaBay's main server in Lithuania.
Oh, shit.
And they took down the site, the largest online black market takedown at the time. So...
nice job.
It was Jeff Sessions announcing it, though, so... And suddenly, they had access and traceability for all of those transactions going through the mixing service. And quickly, they were able to trace them to a real person. By 2019, Heather was posting online video content almost every single day. And her boyfriend, Ilya, was often camera shy and even seen getting upset at her filming him because she would, like, constantly have the camera going. At one point, asking her if she just wanted him to stick something up his ass and do a little dance. But he said it a lot more mousy. And you just wanted to stick something up my ass and do a dance? He would get upset on camera when she kept filming him. It's
kind of funny.
It's kind of funny. Yeah. It's funny now. But if you were looking at normal people, I'd be like, stop filming this guy.
Yeah.
But yeah, fuck him now. Which, like I said, could be kind of funny, but... it just seemed kind of creepy in his, like, nerdy Mark Zuckerberg-like monotone delivery of, like, you just want to put me to put something on my ass and do a little dance. And you're like, ah, geez. It sounds like a threat instead of, like, a joke. It's very.
I don't know if he's joking. I think he's angry.
It's very creepy. This posting schedule did not keep them from their jobs in the entrepreneurial world, however, as Ilya had founded an investment firm, DemandPath, which, according to his LinkedIn, provided angel investing to decentralized projects. He also smashed two more words together to create the cybersecurity company EndPass, literally MixRank, DemandPath, EndPass. He literally just puts two words together into one.
All the time, like, yeah.
That's my company. And he created it. This is really ironic, a cybersecurity company with Heather. Although those that worked at EndPass later said that they never really created anything because... they didn't have, the owners really didn't have a direction and didn't have the know-how of how to make a cybersecurity company. And they ended up closing in 2020. And all of their online premise, or all of the online presence for EndPass is extremely vague about what they were actually trying to do in the first place. I think their website was just like a sentence and like a contact us
That's weird.
Box, and like, that's it. Meanwhile, Heather is busy giving knockoff TED Talks about what she calls social engineering.
What does that even mean?
It's just a dystopian term for manipulating others, basically, into doing what you want them to do. And of course, she says, though, she's like, I don't like the word manipulating, but it's a way to convince others to take an action or say something that they normally wouldn't do.
And oh.
You're like, that's manipulation.
Yeah, that's manipulation.
But that's fine. She even tells a story at the talk about how her and a friend like broke into a museum, and when confronted by a guard, they just bribed him, and he ended up giving them a tour instead of arresting them. Like, that was... You're just describing being a bad person. It's not a skill to be an asshole. I mean, I guess it is.
I mean, kind of, but not really.
But it's not something you give a talk about to people. Like, no. You guys need to be social engineering.
No.
Like, you just need to be manipulating those around you to do whatever you want by any means necessary is not a good message. But although their companies kept failing, the love of Ilya and Heather did nothing but grow.
Gross.
And Ilya proposed in summer of 2019 with, you guessed it, a multi-channel marketing campaign. Yeah. He spent money on a marketing campaign to push Heather's RazzleCon music with posters around NYC and, like we mentioned in the intro, multiple billboards in Times Square, which cost anywhere from $5,000 to $50,000 each.
Each?
Each. And he put like three of them up in Times Square.
RazzleCon in Times Square.
It had all of her... The Spotify link, all that, YouTube had a picture of her doing the like thing on it. It's really disgusting.
I bet she was happy though.
Well, yeah, she obviously said yes. If Jesse proposed to me by putting up White Collars Red Hands billboards in Times Square, I'd be like, stop. You know that I don't like attention being brought to me, but also I'd thank her later.
Yeah, I would be very happy if people. I would marry Jesse if she did that.
Deal. Yeah. She put it up and will somehow pass through that three people can all get married together in the United States, and then we'll all live happily ever after.
We'll be a throuple.
We'll all live happily ever after. Obviously, she said yes, and the two were married. And at the ceremony, who else performed but RazzleCon herself, giving a heartfelt rendition of a wedding-appropriate original of hers, claiming to be the Turkish Martha Stewart, and then air-humping the stage.
What?
I think she's Turkish.
She rapped at her own wedding?
Oh, yeah. And she's dressed in like European, like pharaoh kind of, or not European, Egyptian pharaoh kind of wear. And then has these people like fanning with like golden leaves. And she's on the ground like humping the air. Turkish Martha Stewart. Turkish Martha Stewart. Turkish Martha Stewart. It's bad. I actually tried to find the video for it. They played it on like news reports at the time. I have no idea where they got the video. I cannot find it. I think they got it from like a private source.
Yeah, they must have.
And didn't upload it anywhere.
Damn.
So anyway, Turkish Martha Stewart. But paradise was lost quickly though. As just 2 months after the wedding, police were knocking on the door and serving them with a search warrant. With the service from Alphabay secured, authorities were able to follow the threads of laundered cryptocurrency through multiple wallets and accounts at virtual currency exchanges, also known as VCEs. Many of these were tied to fake names with procedurally generated email addresses. Also, many of these accounts were at one point asked by the exchanges to provide more information after multiple Bitcoin passed through them. These VCEs are legally required to employ anti-money laundering safety nets through the acquisition of more information of suspect accounts, which is something called Know Your Customer information or KYC information. However, the owners of the accounts that all of this Bitcoin was funneled through would just not respond and then liquidate the accounts if they got asked for this information, which red flag.
Yeah, obviously. It's a huge red flag.
There were thousands of these. But after a while, they found accounts that were opened and authenticated with real personalities, including driver's licenses, pictures of those licenses, and email correspondences and real emails that were linked to real people. And those accounts were linked to Ilya Lichtenstein and Heather Morgan, or one of the businesses solely owned and operated by them. There was one related to sales folk, one related to demand path. Some crypto traceable to Bitfinex, to the Bitfinex hack, was also used to buy gold coins at an online dealer and then sent to the personal address of Ilya Liechtenstein and Heather Morgan. The crypto that was funneled into their accounts was used to purchase gift cards for Uber, Walmart, and Hotels.com, as well as PlayStation. Yeah, and then that went on to be spent by the couple as well. And at the time that this was all discovered, the original missing Bitcoin had ballooned in price to be worth $4.5 billion then. It's actually come down in price. So at the time when this search warrant was served, $4.5 billion is what they were searching for. On January 5th, 2022, the search warrant was served at the Wall Street apartment, and they find some pretty damning evidence, chiefly a plastic bag filled with electronics marked burner phone.
Oh my God, just, how dumb.
Just on the outside, yeah.
This is like whenever anybody emails about stuff. Like emails incriminating stuff, this is the same thing. Let me mark this burner phone.
Well, it's funny, I didn't go into it, but they also have a bunch of emails of them lying about why they need the Bitcoin too. With these exchanges, they just said, oh, sales folks, she was like, some of my clients pay us in Bitcoin. But then they looked and they were like, that was never true. No, never paid you in Bitcoin. Oh, my God. Especially this much Bitcoin. Yeah, so they just had a bag burner phone. And they also found multiple hollowed out books on the bookshelves, like with the like the pages glued together and just like slots cut out in them. They were rectangular, so I'm assuming that it was like phones or like a gold, like those gold bars. But whatever it was, it had been removed. They were just empty. But that's not something you find in a normal person's apartment.
No, 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 no. Not in an innocent person's apartment.
And Heather was there for the search. And at one point, she had pretended like she was reaching for their exotic Bengal cat under the bed and got caught like hurriedly trying to lock her phone so that it would be more difficult for the police to be able to look through it. And they were like, what are you doing? And they literally had to like wrestle her to the ground and wrestle the phone away from her.
Why is it not locked all the time, Heather? That's a rookie move.
No, I think she meant to like lock it, like not just like click the side button, but like physically like lock the information on her phone. Like when you can put like encryption on your phone.
Yeah.
I think she was trying to do that.
Oh.
And they got it away from her.
That's even dumber.
Yeah. The most damning piece of evidence seized, however, much like the stolen money, only existed online, as they gained access to Ilya's cloud storage folders and found multiple encrypted entries. In the next few weeks, Ilya and Heather continued to post online like nothing happened, including that last selfie I had shown you earlier that came out during this time. They were obviously thinking that the encryption on their files would protect them from justice. But authorities made their way in and found a spreadsheet that contained all of the keys that were needed to access the digital wallets that the stolen Bitcoin had funneled through, including the original one that the almost 120,000 Bitcoin was originally passed to, the keys to the parked car outside the bank. Only now, the money bag only contained 94,636 of the original haul. The rest had been scrolled out to pay the most mistreated video editor of all time to splice together terrible Razzle Converses. They also found a file called Passport Ideas, which linked to dark websites where they could buy fake identification if they ever needed to leave the country on short notice.
Wow.
As well as one just entitled Personas, which just had like fake, like,
you know, you think these people are so, you think these people are so smart, and then they do shit that's just so dumb.
But it was encrypted, Nina.
Yeah.
It was encrypted.
Yeah.
Like, they don't decrypt emails on a daily basis.
Right.
After the feds accessed this file, the two were swiftly arrested. Morgan was released on bail to home confinement, while Ilya was left in prison without bail.
Damn.
Originally, they were only charged with crimes related to the laundering of the stolen Bitcoin and not the hack itself, and rumors swirled about whether there was another more tech-savvy accomplice who completed the caper. But in August of this year, 2023, Liechtenstein and Morgan did plead guilty to conspiracy to commit money laundering charges and also made full admissions to the hack itself. They now await sentencing, where the maximum penalty is 20 years in prison. This whole story has been about the admittedly crazy antics of two people whose social media presence made them seem wholly too stupid to be able to hack multiple billions of dollars away from people and then launder it through sophisticated means. However, there were victims in this crime. Those from whom the Bitcoin was originally stolen. Bitfinex decided to spread the multiple million dollars of loss equally across every account on its platform and then give the difference back in a new coin that they had invented for the purpose, which was originally pegged at $1, but right after its release fell in value to 20 cents per coin. And you may think, as I did, that now at least some of the Bitcoin has been seized, that it is done and dusted, that the money will be given back to those people. But the government still hasn't decided what will become of the crypto, and the fight is ongoing for who gets to decide. For now, at least we can rest easy knowing that the crocodile of Wall Street is fully caged, so I hopefully won't have to listen to any more Razzlecon songs for the rest of my life.
I think that's easy. I think that's easy to do.
Not listen anymore?
Yeah.
I hope so. I could have went without listening to them the first time.
Well, I never listened to them until you just showed them to me.
Here we are. I'm going to... I'll play this both before and after I do the rap at your funeral. So I'll play one of her songs.
Thank you so much.
I'll go up. I'll do my original. I'll fucking get jiggy with your grandma's urn. And then I'll play another one of her songs afterwards. She'll be my opener and my closer just for you.
That's so sweet of you, Kishan.
Yeah, I know.
I really appreciate that.
So thank you so much, everyone, for listening to this week's episode on Heather Morgan and Ilya Liechtenstein, the Bonnie and Clyde of crypto. If you liked what you heard and you want to hear more, we got a bunch of back catalogs. Go ahead, listen to that. If you haven't listened to all of our 100 other episodes, feel free, take a look. And if you like it, if you like what you hear there as well, I'm crashing too. I'm also
wow.
Your heart. Then feel free. This is falling off the rails.
I know, sorry.
Then feel free to leave a rating either on Spotify or on Apple Podcasts. You can leave a star rating on either of those. 5 stars, we love a 5-star rating. Or you can write a review if you want to be a wordsmith over on Apple Podcasts. You can also follow on any of your podcatching services that you listen to, or go over our YouTube at
whitecollars.com.
Shut the fuck up. YouTube.com/whitecollarsredhands. You can watch all of our videos there. Videos are also available on Spotify if you want to watch that way. You can go to whitecollarsredhands.com, and that's our website. You can contact us through there or any of our social medias, twitter.com @whitecollarspod, Instagram. I'm just very tired, to be very honest with you.
Instagram at whitecollarsredhands, TikTok at whitecollars.
That's not even right.
Instagram
at whitecollars_redhands.
Wow, we're not doing it.
Facebook.com/whitecollarsredhands. You can go to our TikTok. That's whitecollarsredhands. You can fucking send us money to pay for the medical bills from whatever hemorrhage is going on in my brain right now. You can send that straight to our P.O. box. We don't have one of those. You guys just send us weird shit, to be very honest. And you know what? We're just going to call it there. There's probably more. Tell a friend.
Yeah, that's the big one.
There we go. And thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next week on another episode of White Collars
Red Hands.